Exodus chapter 15. Hallelujah. We serve a great and mighty God. Amen. This is Father's Day, and we want to wish all of you fathers a very happy Father's Day. We thank God for the godly men that are in our midst. Amen. But we thank most of all our Heavenly Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, praise God. He stands apart from all other fathers. Our God is an awesome God. He's mighty in power. And he is holy. And we want to talk this morning a little bit about that aspect of the holiness of God. I don't believe that we can walk in biblical sanctification until we have proper motivation of understanding how holy our God really is. How necessary it is for us to draw near to Him, what it takes to draw near to Him, and to realize that unless we do, without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. Amen? That tells me that in this hour that we're living, if we're wanting to be right with God, if we're wanting to hear that trumpet that's going to sound at the last day, if we're going to walk in a manner that's pleasing to God, a true life of sanctification and holiness, we're going to have to be conscious of our need to draw toward Him, which means a departure from the world system. A departure from what we would call the mundane, the natural world. Everything that is other than eternal, other than the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. We're being destroyed in our generation by the license that we take in thinking that so many things are acceptable unto God because they're not immoral. But they are weights and they are sins in that they're causing us to be weighted down and causing us to hesitate or to become weary in our pursuit of God. What is it that you and I are allowing today to distract us from a full pursuit of the holiness, the majesty, the greatness, the unequaled fellowship and love of our Heavenly Father? Is He really our treasure? Because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. Amen? And so here we are living in this situation. Exodus chapter 15, the great chapter, the song of Moses. We see this great declaration of the victory. Verse 1, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The Lord, verse 2, is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Beloved, we should come to that place where at the name of Jehovah God, we pause, we tremble, we are struck with awe of the majesty and might and purity of God our Savior. And we've become way, I'm talking about man in general and us as a fellowship, way too casual in our minds in how we think about God. Pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Amen. When we talk about holiness, and we mentioned this the other day, we're talking about recognizing God as other than all of His creation. All things were made by Him and for Him, praise God. Eternal. There is no beginning or end with our God. Nothing existed but God. And out of His mouth He declared all that we're able to see and discern into being. When we approach God, when we think of God, when we hear the name of God in whichever way it's expressed, whether it be Elohim, whether it be Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus, we need to be struck to our very spirits of His majesty and might. All that God is spoken to by the word holy. The word holy in and of itself means to be separate, to be unique, to stand alone. He is the Creator and we are His creatures. Amen? Amen. He is the Creator and all of this world stands by His very existence. Scientists today that are worried about global warming and all of these things have no concept that there is a day appointed of the judgment of this planet and it will not die one day before God's appointment. Amen. So I'm leaving the biggest footprint possible in honoring my God. Think about it. And ask yourself the question, when I approach Him in prayer, when I choose other than His presence, how is that taken by the Creator of mankind, by the Creator of the universe, that we would choose a form of recreation over His visitation? That He comes to make Himself available to us and we choose other than Himself. I'll get back to you. I'll take your commandments under advisement. It's not convenient now. It might cost me something. Moses, as he began to get a glimpse of this God, was struck with terror in his heart. Beloved, we need to understand that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of this living God. And as Christians, we will still stand before Him and we will be judged. We seem to think that redemption makes us free of any judgment. We will be judged in that last day. And as I made mention Wednesday night, I love that comment that Leonard Ravenhill made. He said, we need to make every decision we make on a daily basis in light of the judgment seat of Christ. What eternal value does this have in it? How does this that I'm getting ready to do bring glory to God? How can this win souls? How can this put the praises of God in other men's hearts and lips so that my Father could receive the glory that He's worthy of? Oh, beloved, we need to come to a better understanding of what it means when we say God is holy. Moses goes on in this chapter here in chapter 15. And giving declaration of the great deliverance from Egypt. When the great I Am manifests himself in that deliverance, who shall I say sent me? You tell Pharaoh that I Am has sent you. I don't know that there's any greater expression of the holiness of God than that statement that God gave to Moses. Just say, I Am. I am He. I am the Almighty. I am the Creator. Before me, nothing existed. It's by me that you live and move and have your being. I've numbered your days. I know the very moment your spirit's going to leave your body. And I've got something for you to do. And how conscious are you of fulfilling my will before I take that breath from you? He told us we don't have tomorrow. Don't you say tomorrow I'm going to go here and do this and that. Say if the Lord wills. Amen? Because He's God. And He orders every step. And every step is noted by God. We have no right to wander off on all of these little distractions in life. God has ordered a path for you and I. It's called the highway of holiness, praise God. Amen? And there's no iniquity there. And there's no vanity there. In the highway of holiness, there is no wasting of our lives. Dear God, I wish I had the hours and days and years that I've wasted. And now as I look at the soon coming of that day of judgment, whether the Lord tarries or not, whether He blesses me with long life or not, it's going to be just a vapor. I'm going to stand before Him very soon. And I've wasted too much time and consumed it upon myself and lavished it on others. Time that could have been spent with God. Time that could have been spent for God. He is worthy. Amen? He is worthy of our service. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our thoughts. There's none like Him. And so Moses cries out at this particular time after having presented I Am to Pharaoh. When we talk about the holiness of God, you've got to remember, we're talking about all of His great divine attributes. Holy, separate, unique, there's none like Him. There is no other one that is eternal. Amen? There is no other one that is omnipotent and omniscient. And omnipresent. When we talk about holiness, we're talking about the immensity of God. I was going to hunt it down and I didn't. I love that book. You want to be moved in your spirit? Read that book by Tozer, the little book, The Knowledge of the Holy. And get a glimpse at who our God is. It's been years since I've read it, and I'm getting it out this afternoon when I get home. The immensity of God. The infinitude of God. All that He is. In His love and His mercy and His gentleness and His kindness is expressed in His infinitude. There is no limit to it. Amen? It never ends, praise God. It cannot be exhausted. Thank God. That's what redemption is based upon. But so is His righteousness and His justice, His judgments. You see, we live in a generation that is so slack. We live and have lived in a country and in a generation where there is no consequence. You lack discipline, you go bankrupt, so what? It used to be a stigma. And now it's a business move. And now it's a way to allow our lusts to go on and continue to consume beyond our capabilities. Now it's called wisdom. The lack of character in our society, the lack of character in our churches. Verse 11 goes on in this 15th chapter and says, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Hallelujah. There's none like Him. He's glorious in His holiness. Over in Isaiah 6, turn over there for just a second, that passage that we're familiar with in the year that King Uzziah died. "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His glory, His train filled the temple." And he sees the great creatures, the seraphims, flying through the heavens. And one cried unto another, and I like that phrase. The scripture speaks about us speaking one to another about God's great redemption, amen? About what He's effected in our lives, about His glorious being. We need to, just like these seraphs, we need to speak back and forth one to another about how holy our God is, about how awesome our God is, about how worthy our God is, about our need to better serve Him and prepare ourselves for Him. Fearful in praises. And these beings flying through the heavens, crying, "Holy Father, Holy Jesus, Holy Spirit." We come together and we're so longing for the visitation of God and the miracle power of God, and we want to invite a Holy Spirit into whatever party we have going on. We invite the Holy Spirit to come into our midst and move mightily. But after the service, we've got a party and somebody's time to recognize somebody. It's somebody's birthday. It's always somebody's birthday around here. And so we've got to get off to that, and we're distracted, and yet we say, "Holy Spirit, come into our midst." If the Holy Spirit, H-O, is going to come into our midst, we need to seek Him, W-H. oh, holy, with all of our hearts. Because He's worthy, He is distinct, He is unique, He is other than. Do you know what that means? It means nothing that's of this world, nothing that is temporal means anything to Him. He doesn't care about that stuff that we're so caught up in. His whole purpose of invading our presence is to draw us from that unto Himself. So that we could get some glimpses of His majesty and the fruit of our lips bring thanksgiving to His name. Oh, the need of genuine worship and praise and prayer in this our generation. They cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Hallelujah. Oh, would to God that that would manifest. Amen. Would to God that this whole building would be filled with His glory. And none of us here has the responsibility of seeing to it through prayer and fasting that this building be filled with the glory of God. But every one of us is responsible to make sure that this building gets full of the glory of God. Amen? This temple, praise God, of the Holy Ghost. How full are we this morning? How filled did we come in? With what expectation did we come today? Of believing that the majesty and the power and the awesomeness of God would express itself here in this place this morning. Can I encourage you with something? It's not over yet. Amen. And the earth is filled with His glory. Oh, as we begin to seek the glory of God and the awesomeness of God in our generation. As we shared Wednesday night, it's going to cost us something. Consecration, as we heard the utterance this morning, the need to sanctify ourselves, to prepare ourselves to enter into the holiness of God. Consecration is a personal responsibility. We see in the scriptures that there were different aspects of consecration. When God separated the Levites to Himself, they became a consecrated people, and it carried on through that tribe of Levi from father to son, and that whole tribe was consecrated, and they couldn't partake of all that the rest of the tribes were able to partake of. Their inheritance was God. They lived other than the rest of those around them. Personal consecrations that we see in the scriptures, like the Nazirite vow. A razor would not touch their head. They wouldn't drink wine. We see one of the great expressions, the greatest prophet born of a woman, the forerunner, John the Baptist. A consecrated life, meaning one that was given over wholly to God. And we see that in the Levites, and we see it today in what we call fivefold ministry gifts. But I want you to understand, and we'll see it clearly this morning, it doesn't stop there. Every one of us are to be consecrated wholly to God. It's not just those that are living off the gospel, that are full-time involved in the gospel. Go to 1 Peter and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say as it pertains to this. To think that because you're not, quote, called into the ministry, that you can live a different lifestyle than the Word of God puts forth for any Christian, for any man full of the Holy Ghost, for any man who's become a new creation, for any man for whom old things have passed away and all things have become new. What expression is there in our lives of this regeneration? What proof is there of our new man? And how can it be seen by anything but fruit? For it's by our fruit that we're known, not by our well-meaning intentions, not by what we believe inwardly, not by what we hope to become someday, but by our fruits we're known. What is the standard that God has set for us? We'll see it in just a moment, but I want you to hear it loud and clear. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen? We heard it in the other utterance this morning. We have no right to set other standards than what God's Word has set. We have no right to tolerate in our midst substandards of the call of God on each one of our lives. We have no right to try to somehow justify and undergird this next generation's longing and desires to partake of more of the world. They should not be more carnal, they should be more holy if we're doing our jobs. They should have a greater hunger and pursuit of God than you ever had. You were raised outside the house of God. They've been raised in the house of God. They don't have the scars that we had. They ought to be wholly pursuing God, and yet many of us are guilty of putting stumbling blocks before them as it pertains to their walk of holiness. Here, taste of this, partake of this, lavish this. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Hallelujah. There is no other standard but holiness. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen? Are we perfecting it, or are we trying to find ways around it? Are we perfecting it, or are we satisfied with it being just on the outward, as we heard this morning? God wants our hearts, and He deserves them. Amen? He purchased them. It is not yours to squander on yourself. You belong to God. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your heart and in your mind and in your body, which are Christ's. Hallelujah. Our God is worthy. Well, thank God for those that are called into the ministry and those that are willing to go on the mission field. No. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter, you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. We know what that means. That word means peculiar, to be set off by boundaries. You can't cross over and Satan can't cross over. You have no right going outside this life boundary that God drew for you and said, if you're a Christian, you're going to stay in these boundaries. Separate from the world. this damnable lie that we're to spend time hanging out with the world so they can get to know us and feel comfortable and then they'll be, you know, much more open to the gospel. Let me tell you something. The natural mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them. A true Christian is a fool in the eyes of every unbeliever. There's nothing that will open their eyes but the Holy Ghost and the power of the gospel. You're just being afflicted. In these associations, you're a peculiar people. There's a highway of holiness that we're traveling. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? We're traveling this highway. Isaiah 35, 8. We're traveling on this highway. There's no unclean thing in it. It says the fool does not dwell there. What does the Bible say? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool doesn't dwell on this path that you and I are on, this highway of holiness. And thank God the scripture goes on and it says, and there's no lion there. Amen. Satan going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I want to tell you, once you get outside of these peculiar boundaries, you are absolutely prey for Satan. And you may not fall in a moment, but I want to tell you something. The moment you eat of that fruit, you die. The moment you embrace the world, you may not immediately backslide, you die. Your ears become dull of hearing. Things that used to be truth to you now, you want to argue with and you don't understand all of a sudden. How can you not understand it now 20 years after serving Jesus when you understood it 20 years ago? How did you forget it? What are the lies now that have become truth to us? The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Oh God, help us to understand what it means to be holy. It's not just moral integrity, it's having no appetite for. It's having no recognition of. We won't applaud you. We don't want to copy you. We don't want to speak like you speak. We don't want to dress like you dress. We don't have your ambitions. We want to be like Jesus. My heroes are not athletes and hypocrites, actors. And all of these different things are businessmen. Oh, that I could somehow emulate that old fisherman. Oh, for the spirit of a Levi that could stand up and walk away from all that he had put together in the business realm. Not even a thought, just stand up and walk away from it. What could I sell this for? I wonder how much I could recover. Surely God doesn't mean now, let the dead bury their dead. Come and follow me. The prophet said, what have I done to you? Have you been touched? Has the coal from the altars touched your lips? Has your heart's cry at one time been that of Isaiah, here am I, send me? What's happened to us? What's happened to us that we now have to see what we can recover? What's in it for me? Oh, to fellowship and walk with he that had no place to lay his head. We are a peculiar people. Verse 9, and we're to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past, did you forget who you were? In times past, a sinner, an enemy of God, in this place this morning sits ex-drunks. Drug addicts. Fornicators, adulterers. Effeminate. You were not a people, but are now the people of God. Hallelujah. And God looks down and he wants to say about every one of us what he said about Job. Let me tell you something. Satan still goes up into the heavenlies like he did then. And I want you to know something. There's still a people that God will look at the devil and say, what do you think about my people down there? Amen. Take your hand off of them. I'll get them to curse you to your face. No, there's a remnant, praise God. There's a people who are perfect in their generation. There's a people that know who they are. Chosen generation. You're a chosen generation. You've been chosen to be different. You've been chosen to come out. You've been chosen all to sacrifice. Sacrifice what? Well, look at the money they have, and look at the clothes, and look at the cars, and look at the houses, and look, they get to go party and instead of go to church. Oh yeah, it's fun, man. They get to get hooked on drugs and become alcoholics and have their families broken up and live in fear that their businesses are going to collapse. They're going to be so busy pursuing this great blessing that their wives are going to commit adultery. Their kids are going to go after other gods. Their speech will become so mingled. And that's one of the things that to me is so irritating when even around here I hear something and I'm like, what is that? Oh, that's a new word. It means whatever. Two words I'm already sick of. One of them is this culture. Everything's a culture. They're developing this culture and this culture. We've got a culture. Amen? We are a peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, praise God. We don't need anything added by the world. We don't need to add their slang and their speech to the way we talk. Dear God, I have enough trouble with grammar without adding new stuff. How does the world see us? And more importantly, how do we see ourselves? John 15 speaks clearly. I have chosen you. I have ordained you that you would go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit shall remain. Amen? We're a chosen people. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. There is that path, the straight and narrow Jesus referred to, speaking of this Isaiah 35 passage. That highway of holiness. Oh, that we would find His words. In our heart and in our mouth. Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. We're looking for that visitation of the miraculous in our midst, the signs and the wonders that people would stand in awe and know that God is in this place. We will not see those wonders until we imbibe the holiness, until that becomes the real treasure. We are not seeking His signs and His miracles and His benefits. We are seeking His glory. We are seeking His presence. We want to know Him. We want to be like Him, praise God. Is that our appetite this morning? You know, Romans chapter 6, as it deals with our great redemption, speaks along these lines. The Apostle Paul, in this great passage, causing us to understand the full benefits of redemption. In this sixth chapter, verse 12, he says, we are not to allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies, that we would obey the lusts thereof. Many of us are being influenced by that strong resurgence of Gnosticism in the church today. We understand now clearly what Ephemi means, and that these sins are forgotten and cast from us. But let me remind you of one thing, and you saw it in the video the other evening from Africa. Let me remind you that these things are cast away. Unforgiveness, self-will, self-indulgence, taking that brother by the throat when you've been forgiven will bring your judgment back on yourself. Thank God for our full understanding of justification and redemption. But beloved, when those things have manifested themselves in our lives, they produce a life of sanctification, of consecration. Some of us are back in bondage to things that God had freed us from years ago because of our liberties. The other day I took a sip of some non-alcoholic beer. I hadn't tasted a beer for 50 years. And there was one that was sitting there, so I told Guru, I said, I'm going to take a sip of this and see if I remember what it tasted like. And I took a sip of it, and The taste was familiar. But you know, sometimes how when you flip a computer on in these movies and it's brrrr and it all, you know, all this info flashes through at one time. All that taste did was remind me of all of the tragedy in my life that came from it. My grandfather killed himself because of it. He was an alcoholic. My uncles, all but one, were alcoholics. No, two. The majority of my aunts. We were no people. We were heathen. We were pagans. We were doomed to a devil's hell. And now we're the children of God. How can we return to that vomit of the world? That competitiveness that rises up in us. To just have to be preeminent. It's so, so prevalent even in the church. It's sickening. To want to be prevalent, to want to be the person recognized, to want to be the big shot, to having to have attention drawn to ourselves, to wanting to be the most popular, all of these things. That's sin. That's the flesh. That's the devil. And yet too often we promote it and wrap it in Christian jargon. We call it diligence. Motive is everything, isn't it? Sin shall not reign in this mortal body that you would obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, and you will not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but you will yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Sin, verse 14, shall not have dominion over you. Do you not understand, verse 16, that to whom you give yourselves up to be servants, whoever it is you're trying to impress, run with, acknowledge his servant you are, of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. But thank God you've obeyed from the heart. And being made free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness. Now, beloved, if we're not slaves to righteousness, if the pursuit of righteousness, the drawing toward righteous living, righteous decisions, holy living, being sanctified and set apart to God exclusively, it's amazing how many bad decisions we make trying to impress the world, wanting them to speak well of us. If you do something that makes them speak well of you, as soon as you present Jesus, they'll hate you. That Air Force guy that I was talking to on the ship the other day and sharing the gospel with, he was stationed in Turkey for a while and he had this one little buddy that he worked with and he really liked the guy. And he said, he was such a nice guy. And I was watching these families and I said, there's nothing wrong with these Muslim people. They're friendly. They're good people. These are just, you know, they're just folks like us. And then he said one day they shut down the operation I may have even spoken toward this. And for a couple of days, the American Air Force, they weren't flying, and Turkey was flying some of these sorties. And the next thing you know, he found out that they had shut it down. And everything that we had done to assist democracy, to try to help over there, was shut down. And these guys went and were bombing the people that we were trying to help. And he said, he asked the guy, he said, you know, what's going on? What, do you know what was behind this? He said, yeah, this, this, and this. And he said, well, what brought that about? And he said, well, a word came in from the imam. That's their highest prophets. And he said, and whenever the call comes, I'll kill you and your family. And this guy said, that changed our relationship. And everybody you work with will do the same thing that you think are your buddies and your good co-workers. We don't see clearly enough this separation of how holy our God is, this holy nation that you and I serve and live in, and how it relates to the world system. And because of it, we jeopardize our lives and primarily the lives of our children. They are not, the world is not our friends. They are not our family. I'm talking about your relatives. This is my mother and my brothers, those that do the will of God. Oh, that we would understand how awesome our God is, how holy He is, how separate He is, praise God. That's why Romans 12 says you need to get your mind renewed. You need to get your mind renewed. Present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Transformed by the renewing of our minds that we could prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And he goes on a few verses and says, and here's one of the problems. You're thinking of yourself too highly. You don't understand this separation that I'm calling you to. You seem to think that somehow you have a right to make decisions and establish criteria that's contrary to my absoluteness. There is no gray. There is no gray. An awesome God, a holy God. Ephesians chapter 4, since we're over here, look at verse 24, a passage that you all can quote. And he speaks of our redemption and our responsibility. He says in verse 23, or verse 22, put off concerning your former lifestyle, your former way of living, your formal thought processes, put it off. That old man, he says, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. There's a holiness that's being presented in churches today. There's a holiness that's being presented in some of our homes today that is not true holiness. True holiness is pure. It's undefiled. It is not a mingled seed. It is not a mixed language. True holiness, that inward, new man that has to constantly be put on. 2 Corinthians, we'll end with this for this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Don't you wish you'd been one of them that left town today? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let your pastor cleanse you, let your deacon cleanse you, let your best friend cleanse you, let your spouse cleanse you. He says in the preceding chapter, verse 16, don't you know that you are the temple of the living God? As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate. That word separate in the Greek, it's very much like that word peculiar. It means to be determined by limits. It means to mark off boundaries. Beloved, listen to me. We need to set some boundaries on our lives. We need to set some boundaries on our children's lives. That spirit of lawlessness, that spirit of Antichrist that's just rising in the world. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to be restricted. I can walk things out in my own. I can hear from God. I can. If you're so capable and can do all that stuff, can you see how holy your God is? You cannot glimpse the majesty of God and not see your own weakness. Now come out from among them. Set boundaries. Separate yourself. Stop touching the unclean thing. Much of what he's speaking of there is one of the great corruptions was a defiling by corpses and these different things. This world is dead. They're all dead men. And just like there was a defilement of the house of Israel, if any corpse touched them, if we're touching the lives of all these dead men, we're being corrupted and defiled. Now come out. We're not saying you can't speak to them. Be conscious of who they are. At all times, understand they hate Jesus. I'm not saying be unkind. I'm not saying you can't talk to them. We're supposed to talk to them. We're supposed to preach the gospel. Amen? But we can't love what they love. We don't get caught up in their conversations of their gods. The stock market, sports franchises. We've got people in our church who at, you know, they try to make it light and stuff, but we have people in our church who will seriously get upset or angry with somebody over a sports franchise. It causes kind of a strife for a moment and hard feelings and this kind over a sports franchise for crying out loud. You kidding me? How can that happen and you be full of the Holy Ghost? Finish with this for this morning. You refuse to touch those unclean things, I'll receive you. Now having these promises, those promises that we just heard from God, having these promises, cleanse yourself Who's responsible for your cleansing? You are. Who's responsible for your separating yourself? For your consecration? You are. From all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Father, strike our hearts this morning by your Spirit. We have absolute confidence that your word is alive and powerful, and that you, Holy Spirit, have a course set for us. Those that have ears to hear, set us on course this morning. Those that have stiff necks, break them. Break them. Bring them down and humble them, Father, that you might be glorified. And for it, we're going to give you all the praise. We're going to give you all the honor, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, perfect holiness. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.